Hey, everybody. Welcome to the official Game Stitch podcast. This is episode 579. I'm producer Gerald. And today, as always, I'm joined by Ryan Walton.
Hello.
Good morning.
I just punched my cup, almost spilled it. That's how excited I was.
Oh, if you're not knocking over your phone, you're knocking over your cup.
Yeah, I like to drop and or hit things.
Mm-hmm.
It's what happens.
It's life.
Yeah.
Life now, at Game Stitch Studios.
I'll tell you the problem this morning. We started talking about eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just searching for everything.
Right.
That's what happens. I get on there, I start thinking about having stuff. And then I was thinking about how I didn't, you know, we talked about the Dave the Diver plushes.
Right.
I was like, they're too high. But then, you know, I get online, I start looking at video game stuff we were talking about. And then I'm like, I kind of want those.
Mm.
So that's currently what I have pulled up. They're just expensive.
The David Diver plushies.
Yeah, I'm not a plushie guy either.
Yeah.
I want so bad for Dredge to make a very detailed boat model with interchangeable pieces.
Mm. Like you're upgrading your boat.
Mm-hmm. I know they can't give me everything, but if they could give me like the net that I could take on and off, maybe some upgraded like poles for the side, maybe a couple different engines I could clip on and off, maybe the light,
mm-hmm.
just some things like that. I'd be willing, if this is a highly detailed model, maybe even that light lights up, I'd be willing to put $80 into it.
Yeah.
Like I'll step up for a nice Dredge model.
But it has to be not just like plastic. I wouldn't mind like cast iron or metal.
Like a nice PVC model. You wouldn't do a plastic one?
I mean, I would do a plastic, but I'd rather.
Yeah.
It's just, they just stand better and hold up better than with the lighting.
Yeah, I'd do a nice plastic one that was painted well. I mean, I'd love to have something better, but I know that that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't even appear that a plastic one's going to happen.
No.
But we got there because I ordered the physical copy of Cult of the Lamb,
mm-hmm.
which we had talked about last week. I don't know if we did on the show or off the show, but you and I had a conversation about it. I have it digitally because it was cheap, and it was before I knew I was going to love the game. And like all things, I want them physical once I know I like it. So I finally bit the bullet and ordered I ordered the Special Reserve edition off of eBay. So I had to pay up a little bit for it, but it'll make a great addition to the shelf where it'll never be touched again.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. Now, you still haven't touched Cult of the Lamb anymore, right?
No. I need to buy the game, but I'm just not sure if I want to buy it for PlayStation or Nintendo. I think that'd be a good Nintendo game to have, or Switch game.
It would be. Yeah, it would be good over there.
To actually, because I wouldn't mind having, like, a physical copy just to, like, collect it, just have it on a shelf and package, but then buy a digital one just to be able to play it. I'll probably end up getting it for both.
I was going to say, now, if you play it on Switch digitally, would you buy the Switch physical or would you buy the PS5 physical?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, that's the...
Probably whichever one I can come across at that time.
Are you going to get just the regular edition?
I don't know. I might get two or three different editions.
The reason I ask is the regular edition. I know this is not good listening, but that's fine. The regular edition I was finding on eBay fairly cheap for just the game itself.
Yeah, I've seen it for what, $17.99, $22.99.
Yeah, it was manageable for the price. It just gets expensive when you get into all the special editions they do.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff out there for Cult of the Lamb. I've seen like headset case, like holders, and people making all kinds of stuff, like 3D printing. There's jackets and shirts.
And I'll tell you, it's a little bit weird because that game is dark.
Mm-hmm. You get hooked to the cult.
I mean, it's not a little bit dark either.
No, it's a lot dark.
It's all the way dark.
Like I'm looking at one, here's bedding. There's bedding for this.
Yeah, it's really odd.
Gosh.
Oh, it's the dark lamb too.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's there's a choice when you're going to bed.
There's different ones too. Here's the light. There's a lot. So it's not that they just custom make it, probably per order.
Yeah.
But just saying that, I mean, I don't see other games that I like doing that. Oh, here's the Cult of the Lamb party animals. Did you get all the Cult of the Lamb party animal stuff?
They only have, lamb, yeah.
Just this, okay.
Now, you can drink spinach, which I only call beans. You can drink a can of spinach, and when you do, he turns into, like, the dark lamb, which is pretty cool.
There's someone 3D printing resin models of it. Hoodies. I think it's cool though. I do like it when people get into it like that. So when they do the second game, you're gonna be in on it for sure.
Cult of the Lamb too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you completely finished the first one.
Well, I want to say yes. I beat the game.
Mm-hmm.
I did not do everything you could do in the game. And they have since updated it, too, with new stuff as well. So, I need to go back and spend a little more time. You know, it's the balance of, like, keeping... Let me close this window down, or I'm never going to be able to pay attention.
Yeah.
It's the balance of keeping the cult going successfully and also doing your runs. And I think at a certain point when you have done all the requirements that are needed for the cult itself, it's probably time to focus on the runs. There's trophies for taking out the bosses without taking any damage, which is just going to take repetition,
mm-hmm.
you know, collecting all the cards, things like that. There's a lot to do. Where you just need to grind, and I did not do all that stuff. What I did was what I think is make a pretty detailed first run, but it really needs a little more focus if I was going to go back and really clean it up. The thing, I just don't know if I want to do that because I don't want to stick around in there so long that it loses some of its charm.
Yeah.
I may just be done with it.
Yeah, but you do run credits. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I beat it. I beat Dredge. I'm still working on Dave the Diver.
Haven't even touched Dave the Diver. Have the demo downloaded. Just haven't touched it.
So here, let me tell you the problem with getting something on Switch. And this is, I love the Switch. So don't try to come at me, mm-hmm. you Nintendo lovers. It's too convenient to pick up, but also to put down.
Yeah.
So if I go to all the trouble of turning the PS5 on, I'm going to put a little time into it. I'll grab the Switch and I'll dive. You can do 3 dives a day. I'll do 1 dive and be like, all right, I'm good. Turn right back off.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I don't want to keep playing it, because I have something else to do and it's easy just to hit the power button and walk off.
Right.
So I think because of that, it's taken me an extremely long time to work my way through Dave, because I'm just doing it when it's convenient. I'm not sitting down intentionally to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to. I like it. I think about it. I'm just not making the time to play it because it's on Switch, I think. And so it's easy to just drop in, drop out.
Yeah. Now, because you said something about turning on the PlayStation 5, it made me think. So I don't know. All of a sudden, with over the last 2 weeks, my PlayStation 5 is out in the living room, connected to, you know, all the stuff out there. And then sometimes when I turn my TV on, just press the Alexa, I use the Alexa remote, turn the whole thing on, the PlayStation 5 will turn on. And then sometimes it does not turn on. And I cannot figure out what was going on. And I've looked online, and I guess some people are having some issues with that, with the brand TV. I have a Samsung TV with that TV specifically.
That's weird.
Yeah. It only does it sometimes. It'll just turn the PlayStation on, and then I'm like, what the hell?
I'll tell you, this is the least amount that I've played a PlayStation console in Man, probably since the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, because you guys have been playing heavy on the Xbox.
Yeah, a lot of party animals, and that's kind of become our go-to. And like all things, we will run it into the ground eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just don't have the ability not to. You know, that's the problem with me and friend of the show, Marshall 205. When we have a good thing, and I've talked about it before, we will play it until it is not a good thing anymore.
Yeah.
I haven't played Rocket League in months. I still think about it. I think that maybe that ship has sailed for us. But it's just, Party Animals is such a good time for me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play other stuff, but then there's also like, well, I need to get my dailies done, you know?
Right.
There's that old thing. But yeah, I haven't even messed with the Under the Sea pack on Speedstorm. I just haven't been engaged with PS5. I've only been playing it for a multiplayer game. That's it.
Weird, huh?
A little bit. It's weird to me that I am, for the first time in my entire life, and I want to be clear, entire life, I'm reaching for the Xbox controller first. It has nothing to do with PlayStation or Xbox. It has everything to do with Party Animals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they put Party Animals on PS5, I would not play on Xbox again as long as my stuff moved over.
Just about to ask you, would you play it if it came?
As long as my stuff moved over, if it didn't move over, I would continue to play on Xbox and just crossplay. But if my stuff moved over, yeah, it would be the last time I played it on Xbox. And I wish it would come.
Yeah, I'm trying to look to see if there any new updates, nothing.
Yeah, there's a lot of chatter about it, but I think they have a timed exclusivity on Xbox. So,
yeah.
I think you'll probably be at least a year from when it launched before you see it, if I had to guess.
If it's still playing doing popular, or if it's like almost in the water, like, okay, let's get it out there and try to bring it
back. So somebody somewhere knew this game was going to be good. And I say that because they have had such a steady lineup of new stuff coming. Like, somebody knew. Like, somebody deep down felt like, hey, this is going to be a thing that we need to have some resources ready to go for. And they have consistently done IP collaborations and new character models and new levels, and they keep that game fresh. So somebody putting a little love and a little thought into it. They have a new IP collab. Remember that game Cut the Rope? It's an old app.
No.
So if you look, it's one of the first games I remember just tons of people talking about. And I think maybe there's a Cut the Rope, like sort of like Angry Birds, where there's a bunch of them. I only played the first one ever, but their new collaboration is that thing. I think his name is like Nom Nom or something.
Yeah, some green.
Yeah. Dragon. Now they had to elongate him a little bit to make him work for the four party animals, but that's the new collaboration. So we've gotten to the realm of we're getting a little wild with our characters now.
Yeah.
But I'm still down for it.
That's good.
Yeah. So just the long of the short here, I played Party Animals and I played our multiplayer game. I played Dave the Diver once. And I play our multiplayer game, which is still Helldivers 2.
Yep. I think we all had better time this time.
You know, so we're in a unique situation with Helldivers in that friend of the show, Marshall 205, it's his game. He picked it.
Uh-huh.
But we got in here and collectively shit on it on the show.
Yeah.
Not on the game, but on our experience with the game. And then so hats off to him. He got in there early with friend of the show, Patman, and they talked about a strategy to try to help us enjoy the game more.
I thought we had a better time.
Yeah, I thought everybody had a better time. Now, I stand by my feelings on this game.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that I don't care. And it's a me problem. It's not a game problem. It's not a design problem. It's not a flaw to the game. I can't get my head wrapped around caring about what we're doing.
Yeah.
But I want to say that I had a much better experience.
I did too.
But I realized... And, you know, since then, I've been made fun of for it. I'd rather go find samples and scout out areas than I would be in the line of fire with you guys. That doesn't interest me at all. I was able to avoid you guys killing me constantly by kind of doing my own thing.
Uh-huh.
I didn't, for the most part, feel like you needed me. And when you did, I felt like I was pretty well there. You know, several times I was the last guy alive and able to bring everybody back because I'm not as much in the shit.
Right. And I think everyone was figuring out like their role and what they could do, what they can't do.
Yeah, everybody did their part and everybody had a role. So before, I didn't feel like anybody had a role. Everybody was just Rambo.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy that at all, but I had a much better time. Now, I will tell you, I've thought about playing that game since then, which isn't something I thought would happen.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not in love with that game.
Yeah, that same way. I thought about playing it just to level up better so I can get the stuff. So when we do play again, I'm a little bit more effective in stuff that I have. And then I understand the game better for everybody else.
Yeah.
Which I did glad we destroyed that Titan pretty easily.
Yeah.
Because the way they were talking, like, we're going to be battle nothing for like 30 minutes.
It's like a bile something.
Yeah, this...
bile Titan. Monster.
Yeah, it's big Titan.
Bile Titan.
Yeah.
You know, and I've talked about it before, but like a lot of times when we play games, like, I don't care to level up. I don't care to put points where they go. I don't just want to play the game. I realize that I'm probably being a little stubborn and that I don't care, but I could still level up and help you guys out more.
Yeah.
And so I'll spend my points, but here's what I'm thinking, or my medals. Like, I don't know how much help I'm going to be because I'm not interested in fighting. Like, to me, the fighting is the least interesting part of that whole game. Like, standing in a line with you guys and all firing at the same bug is the least exciting part of that game for me.
I get it.
You know, that's the part I don't care to do. That's the part that bores me. And it's like, yeah, I can call in, you know, yeah, I could get better strikes and I could call those in. Well, I mean, I feel like we're making pretty good headway with what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know everybody's like, well, you play on harder difficulty or you play face the bigger monsters. We were playing on harder difficulties. We were facing bigger things, bigger bugs. You know, with four people, that game is pretty manageable.
Yeah.
You know, we still died a lot, mostly Howard, but we still died a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I had a better time with it.
Yeah, nobody was accidentally killing somebody else. Well, purposely killing somebody else or.
Yeah. Now, what I need him to get over is he keeps feeling bad because he had us buy it and we don't love it. He's got to get over that.
Right. That was a part of our agreement.
That's going to happen. That's going to happen again. That's going to keep happening. Like, you're going to have someone buy a game that they don't love, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. I think that we have done a disservice by constantly only wanting to play free games too, because, or games on some sort of pass, because that limits the options. So I'm not disappointed that I bought that game in any shape, form, or fashion.
Right. Cause there's probably like three or four games coming out that I wouldn't mind playing with everybody that's multiplayer that we're going to have to buy.
Well, I can tell you that if it was my turn, before Sea of Thieves came out, or after Sea of Thieves came out, I would make everybody buy it.
Yeah, that would be a game.
It's just going to hit in April, so it won't be, you know, it won't be my turn. But I would make everybody buy that without hesitation.
Like, South Park has come in. I saw a few of these multiplayer games coming that we could play.
You can't be in your feels because somebody doesn't like anything. Because of the way we do this, there's always going to be someone who's not as engaged as somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like it's important for me to get off of the shooters. We've done two shooters in a row.
Right. And usually Patman's pretty much engaged in all of it except for the Force. He was not.
Yeah.
I think it's the only game that we played. I just felt like he just didn't really care about.
Yeah. The Force was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's off night. So the thing with the multiplayer game is it's a little bit of a task, right? We're forced to play on Thursdays.
Yeah.
So like without fail, I'll have a bad day on Thursday. I'm tired. I'll get home late. I will have just eaten dinner and it's like, oh, it's time to jump on and play multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I'll come in with a bad attitude because it's just at the end of a long day and it stopped feeling like my choice to play. But once I get in, I'm fine.
Right.
Because I like talking to everybody, and it's more about that than it is the game for me. But, you know, I like it. I think it's fun. It's made me play things I wouldn't play. I wouldn't buy Helldivers if it wasn't for that.
Same.
I would never have played Zombie Army if it wasn't for that. I've never tried Earth Defense Force if it wasn't for that. you know, pretty much every game that I didn't pick, I would have never played without somebody like urging me to play that.
Right.
So it's been good for me, no doubt. But yeah, he's just got to not feel bad. He listens too, so stop being a big old bitch about it. You know, we're lucky enough that the four of us can afford to buy a game. And if we couldn't, then I think the other three would say, hey, you need to get out of this group.
Yeah.
Don't spend money you don't have to. But I think all of us can afford it for right now.
But I also think we all, like, just enjoy playing. That one day a week is, like, great to play. To get everyone in, just play a game.
It's not too much. It's just that, like, it's the same thing with everything in my life. When it feels like it has to be done, it starts to irritate me. Like when I feel like it's not a choice. I would play every Thursday without fail, but the fact that we have to play on Thursday, I get a little bit of anxiety about that.
See, I look forward to that day because I get to play with everybody. You know, I'm playing games that people don't play. That most of the games I play, you guys don't play that stuff. So,
but you could get in chat every single night.
I know, but then it messes me up when I'm playing some of the games because I have to listen to everything else in the background.
We play, me and friend of the show, Marshall 205, play, I would say, a minimum of six nights a week, every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always, you know, maybe not so much on Xbox because I'm not friends with everybody over there, but like on PlayStation, we stay in an open party. And we never have a problem with anybody joining. We just get on. We get on at roughly the same time, 9 to 9:30, and we just kind of just play until one of us is too tired to play.
Yeah.
But it is typically just him and I until Thursday. And then Thursday is everybody. It's the four of us.
Right. Because when I'm playing Fallout 76, I'm usually joined up with another team, so we're talking about like what we're doing.
You know, it's tough. You know, some other people that I'm friends with or acquaintances with or that I've played with in the past are like, hey, I'd love to join y'all. I'm like, but yeah, hey, doing four is pretty tough.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine trying to find a game where more than two people or four people could play. So we're 2 weeks away from my game, and I have not made a definitive choice yet.
Oh.
So I have basically 3 weeks before I start.
Yeah.
And I need to start buckling down. I keep looking at things and I'm like, oh, I'd like to do that, but, and I've got to just, got to commit.
Yeah, like you said, no shooter, and that's the hard thing because, I mean, you can find shooters all day.
Yeah. And I don't know. I may pivot to VR. I've got a couple different things I'm thinking about on PS5. You know, I'm a little bummed out that nobody has made the jump to have us do a Switch game yet. Because there's a lot of opportunity over there.
Does March 205 and Pac-Man have a Switch?
Yeah, everybody switched up.
Okay, I didn't even think about that.
We'll have to use probably the PS5 for chat purposes.
Right.
But everybody switched up. So, you know, there's a lot of possibility over there I think about. But yeah, I need to start making the list and working through it.
Yeah.
I basically just talked about what I played for a long time.
Right. And so I play, I'm playing Fallout 76, a lot of that, doing missions that I haven't done before to get stuff. Also jumped in and started playing some Power Wash Simulator. So I probably did five different levels, done another house, I've done some old school, like Rolls Royce looking car.
Yeah.
Did that one, did another house. I'm working on just finished the skate park. So just playing that. And now I can listen to podcasts while I'm doing that.
That's a game where I'm like, hey, that would be a good option for us. But then I know that games that are that slow will lead to too much distraction from the outside sources.
Right.
Everybody will end up on their phone.
Yep, because that's more of a game. You're just chatting.
Yeah, we need a little action, unfortunately.
Yes, but
heavy hydration right there.
Yeah, so I had to get a drink. My throat is like super dry right now. So that's pretty much all I played. Also, didn't play anything else. I wanted to get because I'm done with God of War. I want to try to find another game to play with. So that's why I jumped into Power Wash Simulator, just to get to buy my time until I find something to play.
I really think it's I think you should do Dave or you should do Cult of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Cause, and I say that because I think you should play both of those games and I don't think you should play them back to back. So I think you play one of them now and then you give it some time before you play the other.
Yeah, true.
You know, if you wait though, you could play Dredge on PS5. Yeah, or not Dredge, Dave the Diver.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, I have Dredge.
Yeah, if you wait, you could play Dave the Diver on PS5 because it comes out soonish.
Well, I still need to jump into Animal Crossing and play that.
I think about Animal Crossing sometimes, but I don't think I'll ever get back in it. You know, I did what I wanted to do when I played that game.
Yeah, you got a level 5.
You get the 5-star island. You get the island. You know, part of the problem with Animal Crossing is when you go to all the trouble to fill up every tile on your island, which I did. Uh-huh. My island is decked out. And then you get a new idea. The idea of having to tear everything down, go back to a 1-star. You'll spend a week trying to get it all gone.
Yep.
Kick everybody out, start all the way over, and then put it all back. And then when you do, you're like, all right, well, now I'm done. So I think I just am where I am on that game.
Yeah, you just miss out on, like, there's a new shop that you put in your camp. Then there's the Harv's Island, which has got the new stuff you have to unlock. And then you have the job on another island where you're decorating other people's islands. So yeah, there's other stuff to do. But then, like you said, you'll have to remodel your whole island to make that one little shop in there.
Yeah, so, like, do I put those hours in just to make it a little bit different and just to be frustrated as I try to get it back to 5-stars?
Yeah. Then all the new collectibles that you get.
Right.
Yeah, it's the Abel Sisters house. That's who you get now.
And there's the coffee shop.
Yep.
I mean, there is a lot, but I just don't think that it's enough to bring me back in. Now, I'll tell you what I'm struggling with is the Nook's Cranny Lego set.
Yeah, which I'm always going to mess up in a news story we got today.
Okay, so I'll wait on that. But when we're talking about Animal Crossing, that's way more of a struggle for me than playing the game is.
Yeah.
Now, I think I was clear that I don't like that model.
Me neither.
I'm having a tough time not getting it.
Same.
I feel like I should get it. I feel like it's a no-brainer for me to at least have that one. Do you have the news story?
Yeah, I was going to go over it. You know,
just pull it up. Just pull it up because I have thoughts. I need to get this out.
Okay, so basically I was going to go over the Lego sets for Animal Crossing coming out March 1st.
Just go to Nook's Cranny. You could still, I don't want to ruin your news segment. I just need to talk about this one.
Well, yeah, we'll go to Nook's. Here's Nook's
I know Cranny. You like to put it at the end, but I mean, it's okay to switch it up.
Yeah, there's Nook's Cranny.
Okay, well, you got to share your screen though.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah.
So we've talked about it before. We've talked about these sets as they were unveiled. Mm-hmm. Nook's Cranny is just a front.
Yes.
$74.99. It's Nook's Cranny and Rosie's house. Now, I don't give a shit about Rosie's house.
Right. I don't even know who Rosie is. So.
That's Rosie right there.
Yeah, no, but I'm sorry. I don't know who Rosie is.
535 pieces. I believe this to be a child set.
Yes.
I don't mean that in a bad way. If you spend any amount of time around Lego, you can look at a set and be like, that's for kids to play with. That's an adult set. So here's where I'm torn. Do I spend the $75?
Yeah, Tom.
To get that set and then go online to somebody who inevitably sells the instructions to finish out Nook's Cranny the right way and buy all the pieces so that I can have a complete Nook's Cranny. Do I buy the $75 and just never open it? Or do I not buy it and just blame Nintendo or Lego for not making a set that appealed to me as an adult? Why on earth is this not a full store? Why isn't this like the Quickie Mart?
Because they want it to be kid play. Because one of the things is all these houses are connectable.
Yeah, but they're all shit. And I mean that in a kind way.
Yeah. Okay. There's like Julian's house.
I'll tell you what it is. It's a half step between Lego and the Super Mario stuff they sell. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite as like gimmicky as the Mario stuff, but it's also not as good as typical Lego. it does feel like it's designed to where you just have these long runs of like Animal Crossing things.
Right. I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to do it like Mario, where you just keep on adding on.
But what I want is a detailed nook's cranny with tables inside, and then it comes with a little creator pack where I can create different furniture to put on the shelves.
Right.
So that's like what I want.
Like with Julian's birthday party, there's nothing about this set that I want. There's no...
It looks like garbage. It's just stuff.
Yeah. And then the bunny, same thing. I don't care. The tent is a cool idea, but nothing I don't want. Now this, I'd want the boat.
Yeah. With the boat with a cap in there.
Yeah. That's the only thing I like out of that one. It's the Captain's Island boat tour.
Yeah.
I like that. Even though I could probably find the boat, buy it, you know, get it built, whatever. But I like this set for the boat.
Is the boat one piece? It looks like it.
Yeah, it's one piece. You just add on.
So I only want the boat with him in. I want everything in that picture when you're looking at set 77048. I just want him and everything that comes with him. I want that right there. If they sold that for $15, I would buy it.
Yep. Which you possibly could get this for $20.
I'll tell you what's bullshit, though. That's $75 for Nook's Cranny. If they sold a real Nook's Cranny for $249.99, a real detailed, full-scale, big model, I would buy it. But I struggle to give them $75 for this.
For half a house.
Yep. And half a house might be generous, too. Bullshit here because you want the balloon.
Actually, no, I don't want the balloon.
I want the balloon. Oh, yeah. Same thing, though. Like, just give me the other side of that house, even if they're tiny like this.
Yeah, but you can custom make the balloon using this, because there's the thing, and there's the balloon.
Yeah.
You could
come with a little clear stand, though, that puts it in the air.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I don't see it in that picture, but on one I saw, it clips to the top of the tree, I think. See, those houses are kind of shitty.
Yeah. They're open back because they want kids to play.
Yeah. It's just not good enough for... See how it's got the clear thing that clips it on top of the tree?
Yeah, sure.
That makes it neat to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nook's Cranny is the only one I'm considering at this current moment, and I am doing that in protest.
Well, I do see that collectors-wise, Tom Nook is going to be like one of the guys that the minifigure collector is going to go after.
Can't you just buy Tom Nook?
Yeah. Cap. And then they're also talking about maybe doing the minifigure series, not 26, but number 27 will be Animal Crossing figures.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, there's no way they're not going to just sell those.
Yeah.
Because there are so many options to pull from, because there are animals for it for days.
So I'm sure you're going to be able to buy like the minifigures. You will go to Lego Con and someone will sell them for like $15 if you just want the minifigure. But still, I'm torn. Like, I kind of want, but I kind of don't. I do think these are, and I'm going to go on clearance. I don't think they're going to sell out. Don't think they're going to be as popular as they're going to be like the Mario stuff. They're going to be on sale. They're going to be in clearance shelves in Walmart and Target.
But the Mario stuff must be working. It is such a huge section of the Lego area.
Yeah.
It must be working.
It is. It's just they're not selling them.
Yeah, but there's so many and new sets keep pumping out. Like someone's buying them.
Yeah, someone's buying them, but not here in the United States because they're always on sale.
I mean, it is. There are a ton of the Mario sets, and it seems like every time I look, there's a new one. And so I just feel like, even though they're not for me, somebody must be buying them. I don't like them at all. And for the record, if they had sold like modular Mario sets where I could have laid them all on my desk and it looked like it was a full run of level 1-1, I would go into deep bankruptcy. See, that looks like ass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though? If it's like $30 and you get part of the first level, you build it just on a flat base.
Yeah.
And then you go by section 2 and section 3, and then you have the whole run on your desk where you could see it like in physical space.
Right.
That would do something for me. I think it's the characters. I think it's the fact that you build the big fat block characters that I really don't like what's happening with the Mario sets.
Right. They could have done minis with those.
Yeah. They're chunky boys.
But maybe that's the contract they had with Lego. The Lego had with Nintendo. Like, we don't want minis. We want them like this.
I don't like it. But there's a lot of opportunity there. So in this respect, Animal Crossing is better than what they've done with Mario.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not a fan. And I hope, just like Mario, they do release maybe a collector set of Animal Crossing down the road, because there are a lot of nice collector set for Mario.
Yeah. Like you said, you did a Nuke's Cranny, like a big set.
Yeah.
Like the Home Alone house or something.
Yeah. I'll spend the money on that.
But I'm doing pretty good, like, on the collector stuff. Like, I have the question mark block, which has the little small mini sets on it. I do have the Piranha Plant. I do have the Nintendo 64. I mean, the Super Nintendo. Original Nintendo, I'm sorry. Yeah, the Super
NES. Yeah,
the NES. I don't have Bowser yet, but I'm going to get Bowser.
Yeah, so, like, if Animal Crossing, if those kid sets do well, I think down the road you could see it. The Sonic sets were kind of set up like I'm talking about, where it feels like it's part of the actual, like, section.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big Sonic guy, but I feel like they're getting it sort of right in that it feels like a portion of the level.
Yeah, like that one right there.
Yeah. If they had done Mario similar to that, where it was a portion of the level, I think that I would pop on that. And if I like Sonic, I would buy this. I think those are cool. That would look good on a desk. Just not a Sonic guy, though.
Me neither. All right, let's get into some news. You done ranting?
Yeah, that's it.
About Nook Tranny?
It's just a missed opportunity. And I'm probably wrong here. Like, they know what they're doing.
I mean, they're making money off of it.
I'm probably wrong.
All right, so Nintendo Direct had a little thing where they showed a partner showcase. They showed off a lot of new games coming. Endless Ocean.
Yeah, take my money.
Yeah.
Endless Ocean. Can just have my money day one.
Grounded, Epic Mickey, Super Monkey Ball, Fantasy Life. Star Wars Battlefront Classic Edition or Classic Collection. It's going to have all the Battlefronts in there. And that's a game that was one of those games that we could all play.
Yeah.
South Park Snow Days, Monster Hunters. Let's see, Penitents on there. I'm going to skip over a bunch because they had like over 20 games. Gundam Breaker 4, Contra, Operation Galaga, Demon Slayer, Kingdom Come, Sword of Online. So they're going to be bringing a lot of games.
If you've listened to this podcast for a long time, you know my love affair with Endless Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I saw the headline scroll across that actually was about Endless Ocean, I was like, well, here we go. That'll get me to buy a Switch game, no problem.
Yeah.
Now, I need to have a physical release.
You don't think it's going to be?
I think it'll be touch and go on whether or not that comes out physical. And maybe they said.
Oh, you always go to one of the game stores and see if it's got a...
Well, oh, GameStop. GameStop shows it.
Yeah, I'm saying Amazon right here has it too.
But you have to be careful. Sometimes they'll show a case and then they'll say like digital code only.
Yeah, it doesn't say here if it's one or the other. It just shows you the box.
GameStop has it up too.
Okay.
And it definitely seems to be a physical release. I'll just go ahead and pre-order it today from Amazon.
Yep. Oh, yep. Item weight, 2.8 ounces.
Yep. I'm going to love that game. And I know nobody else will, and they're not supposed to, but I'm going to love it.
it'll be released on May 2nd.
Yeah, I can't wait.
All right. So next one up, we got same with the Nintendo. Nintendo Online Expansion Pack. Do you pay the online to get the...
N64. I do not.
Okay.
No, nope. But Snake Rattle and Roll is an awesome game.
Yeah. Snake Rattle and Roll. RC Pro-Am is, wow, you just play the hell out of that. Killer Instinct, play the hell out of that.
Those are all good, but what I will tell you is those two NES games right there,
mm-hmm.
RC Pro-Am and Snake Rattle and Roll are fucking staples.
Yeah.
And so they added, I don't know if this is the whole list, but they added five games according to this picture.
Yeah. Blast Corps, Battletoads, Killer Instinct, RC Pro-Am, and Snake Rattle and Roll.
You ever played Snake Rattle and Roll?
Yeah.
That's such a good game. Mm-hmm. I want to play it right now. Haven't thought about it in years. I want to end this show and go play it. Such a good idea.
It was. And they could, I'm glad it's coming like on this, but they could still do it now. People would play it, especially as like a mobile game if they wanted to do it. Do you have this game in physical?
Yeah.
I figured you did.
I sure do. I played it when I was young with my dad, so it's one of the ones that I went seeking out whenever I started collecting.
I thought about, like, I watch a YouTuber and he goes around collecting Retro Rick and he's collecting.
Click on that.
$89.95 in stock.
It's worth it. That's a complete NES instruction booklet, dust cover, game, and box for Snake Rattle and Roll for $89.95.
So he's going through getting all these old Nintendo games, buying them, and trying to get his collection down. I think he's got 13 games left or something the last time I checked. And I was like, man, I should do something like that. But then he just bought some game for like $800. He's like, I'm not going to do that.
But I don't think you have to start there. I think that's what's important is like, you know, I've talked about it before, but I ended up collecting video games kind of on a whim. Mm-hmm. And I stuck with it for a long time. And it would not be fair for me to say that I'm a collector now. But I think, for me, when I started collecting games, my very first thought was, you know, let me get every system ever, and then I'll get the games that interest me.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm dumb, I didn't realize how many systems really existed because I was a kid. And in my mind, the systems that exist are the ones that you heard about or the ones that you saw at Toys R Us.
Right.
So immediately it became overwhelming. I made lists. I kind of put them in order that I wanted them and obviously order it that I could afford them. But the most fun I had collecting were when I chased games that weren't worth money, but were worth something to me sentimentally.
Mm-hmm.
Games that I had played when I was younger, games that I loved, or even a game that I always wanted that I never got and got to experience for the first time 20 years later. You know, those kind of things are what I chased, and I had a really good time with that, not trying to be a completionist, but trying to find those games that struck a chord with me. And you should get into collecting games because it would probably get me back into it.
Yeah. Well, I thought about doing like, I saw like someone took a picture of like their game setup and I wouldn't mind doing something like that. And I had like 10, 20 games. I had the system above that had like 20 systems and I had one system above underneath it. I had about like 10 games, 20 up to 20 games, maybe, under each system. And those were their staple games. I'm like, well, I could do something like that with the games I have, like the PlayStation 1. Get 10, 20 of the games that I like to play, put them underneath there, and that's the games.
Yeah, I think that's a, you know, collecting, again, a weird thing to me. In my mind, you should collect so that you could play those games.
Yeah.
And I did for a long time. I was really good about playing everything that I bought. And then at a certain point, you know, you run out of time or you stop making the time to do that, and then they go into a storage container. And at that point, I'm a little torn on collecting because at that point, you're just keeping it out of the hands of somebody that might play it, but you're also keeping it out of the landfill.
Yeah.
And so it's a fine line, but I don't play my games. They just sit. I also get the most anxiety when someone wants to buy something from me. So I know that I'm not ready to get rid of them, but I also don't play them. And so it's just it's a fine line, but I wouldn't be upset if I got back into collecting.
Yeah.
So I thought it's expensive though.
It is because I need it first. You got to get this. Well, for me, I got to get the systems and then.
Where would you start? NES?
No, I would go to where I'm at now. So I have a PlayStation 2. So I would grab some PlayStation 2 games.
And then just make backwards. A list of 5 to 10 games on PS2. I think you'll be surprised unless they're rare. They're super affordable. You know, the stuff that was common that everybody played, it's not really that expensive.
Yeah. See, I would go after games that I like Manhunt, Robotech Battlecry. I mean, some of the games I already have, like I have them for multiple, like Chronicles of Riddick, I've mentioned before, like that's one of my favorite movies, favorite games. I have them for like, I have all of it, like every collector's edition, DVD, Blu-ray, all the games on PlayStation 2, play Xbox 360. I have that. So it'd be, if it's on both, I'll probably get it for both.
Yeah. Manhunt's a little pricey. That's one.
Yeah.
That game's surrounded by a lot of controversy.
Yeah,
Manhunt. Maybe a lot of the collectors have scooped it up thinking it'll down the road be something hard to find.
Zonal Gears would be a game I would go after, which I had one sealed in box. I ended up selling that one years ago. I kind of regret doing that.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's also, you can't really do this anymore, but back when I started, you could find things in the wild. You know, you could just go out and to a flea market or a yard sale, and it was just littered with games. I mean, everyone's, because of the internet, everyone's more educated in the value of things. And so most of that stuff ends up on eBay or Mercari or, you know, Facebook Marketplace. Now it's rare that you see somebody just being like, I don't know what I have.
Yeah. They're doing that now. Like, I follow a guy on Instagram. All he does is go out and get Lego from yard sales.
Yeah.
And he'll talk him down to get, he's like, oh, look at this haul. They won a 500. I got it for like $300. I'm like, damn it.
Now I want you to, I want everyone listening to just hear me loud and clear here. Mm-hmm. If you will go get educated on a thing, like truly educated, you could make a career out of buying it and reselling it. I don't even care what it is.
Yeah.
Car parts, toys, video games, art, musical instruments. It does not matter. If you will get educated, you could make a career off of going to thrift stores, flea markets, yard sales, garage sales, Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, don't get murdered. You know, you could make a full career out of that.
You could.
You know, I'm talking about, you could live comfortably. You can't be rich in most cases, but you could live comfortably. I have no doubt I could quit my job tomorrow and make $100,000 as a reseller.
Oh, yeah.
I have no doubt. But it's a hustle. Don't get me wrong. It is long hours. It is shopping 7 days a week. And I know that sounds like a good time, but I promise when you go to the same stores every day hoping to see something different, it gets old.
Yep. Then you got to spend the time packaging everything and shipping it out. And that's,
you got to list it. You got to take pictures of it. You have to be very careful when you list it to make sure you're being accurate. You have to test everything. And you have to package everything, ship everything, go to the post office, you know, make sure you have boxes, make sure you have tape. It is a job. Mm-hmm. But you could do it if you'll just get, you got to educate yourself. It doesn't matter if it's books or comics or anything, glassware, shoes.
Shoes, yeah.
Yeah, it is out there. But you have got to become an expert.
Yes.
You've got to do the homework. You've got to watch videos. You've got to read. You've got to look at things. You have to learn the little differences on what makes something worth $20 and what makes something worth $20,000.
Yeah, like I was watching, I said, Retro, he bought some stuff from GameStop, and he got like it was a DS games or Game Boy games from, and he got some fake games.
Yeah, you got to be careful. And you also, sometimes it's easy just to say, hey, I know this is a game that sells high, not pay attention to the fact that it's not the US version.
Yeah.
That's the one that sells high in a lot of cases. You know, it's not the European version or the imported version that sells high because it was readily available wherever else it came from. And, you know, the part that's hard to find is to find that US version.
Yep.
So little things like that. And I'm not an expert in anything. What I will tell you is I have an eye for things that I think are worth money, and I usually do okay, but I'm not an expert. So I would have to really give my time, and I probably need to pull down what all I'm interested in, because I'll sell anything that I think I can make a buck off of. Or in my case, that I can make $50 off of, because I do value my time somewhat. But
you do and you don't, because you still have toys in there that you're not getting rid of that you could sell.
Yeah, they mean a little something to me.
Right.
They do. If I needed the money to eat, they'd be gone tomorrow. You know, but I'm lucky enough that I don't need it. I can hang on to those until either I die with them or until I wake up and think that if I didn't have those, I'd be okay. I've sold a thing I love before and wish I had it back. So I'm not in a hurry to make that choice again. But, you know, somebody backed a truck up and said, I'll give you $20,000 for every video game thing you owned. I'd help them put it in the back. Mm. It would have to be done that way so that I couldn't look at each individual thing.
Right, and price it.
And remember the story behind it and how long I've had it. And, you know, like some of these things I got with people that I'm not even friends with anymore. So it's like, the only thing I have left of that friendship is the moment where we went and drove 2 hours for me to get a game that I've been looking for a year. And so there's a lot of that, but yeah. So if you don't like what you're doing and you want to get in the resale game, it's out there. It's available. I'm not a resource. I'd help out however I can, but I'm not an expert.
Same.
But the information is there.
The closest thing I can become expert on were shoes back in the day.
Yeah.
I knew shoes my shoes. Tough. Yeah.
Shoes are tough now. There's a lot of them. And also, I would say more people are educated, but also the fakes are better.
Yes.
Some of the fakes, to me, the untrained eye on shoes are indistinguishable. I'm sure it's easy if you're an expert, but when I see them side by side, even when they're pointing out what's wrong with them, they look identical to me.
Mm-hmm.
There are very, very good ones.
Yep. All right. Let's go back to the news. All right. So this week, Xbox announced that they're going to go over, they're going to bring out some games to the other consoles, which we did talk about, Grounded, Pentiment, High for Russian Sea of Thieves. They all have dates.
Which they do all have dates.
Yeah, they all have dates, which is good. Sea of Thieves, I have people blowing me up about Sea of Thieves.
I think in the order, Hi-Fi Rush is first and Sea of Thieves is last.
Yeah, Sea of Thieves is what, May?
April 20th, I think.
April 20th, yeah.
Something like that.
Pentiment's February 22nd. Hi-Fi Rush is February 22nd. Grounded, April 16th. And then Sea of Thieves, April 30th.
Yep. Hold on. Go back up. I'm confused about what this says here. Coming to PlayStation 5 on April 30th and will be available. Oh, you can wish list it already.
Oh, okay.
That's a weird thing to advertise.
Yeah.
Okay, so Pentiment and Hi-Fi Rush come out the same day, and then it's Grounded, then it's Sea of Thieves.
Yep.
So, you know, I keep having people ask me, like, oh, this is the beginning of the end for Xbox. I don't think that's what this is. I think Xbox is hemorrhaging money a little bit. Microsoft is absolutely fine. Don't get that twisted. I think Microsoft needs to recoup some of that Game Pass money, and that's how you do it. You show value. I buy Sea of Thieves on PlayStation 5, and I think this is fun, and I could have played it for free over at Xbox.
Right.
Gives them extra money, keeps Game Pass front and center, because when those games launched on my end, it would say Game Pass up front to remind people they could be playing these for free. And plus, you put a little money in the bank. There's no reason not to do this. I think this is the move. Instead of putting Game Pass everywhere, you put your games everywhere.
Yeah.
There'll be another Xbox console. I don't think any of that thing that I keep seeing all these overreactions. I don't think any of that's going to be the case.
Yeah, you know, like with and some of like Hi-Fi Rush. I mean, that's a Bethesda.
Yeah, like, which is Microsoft though.
What is now, but it wasn't. So when that game was developed, it could have been developed for both. That's like when people were like talking about Starfield. I was like, well, it was going to come out on everything at one time. And then when Microsoft bought them, then it said, okay, now we're only going to bring it up this. So they already had the stuff pre-built or somewhat built for to go out on all the consoles.
That's a game you'll see too eventually.
Yeah, I will see that. All right, now we've got some PlayStation news.
I will say strong lineup, smart games to bring out. There's a little bit of everything there.
Yes. Coming to PSVR, we got this from friend of the show, Patman. He sent one of the little things, so I went and looked at it a little bit more. VR 2 is getting some cool games coming. They have this one, The Wizards, Dark Times Brotherhood. It's out today. Wander the Fragments of Fate. Little Cities Bigger. A game that you're going to play, probably, Zombie Army VR. And then Arizona Sunshine 2, Soul Covenant, that was it.
The Arizona Sunshine 2, just to keep anybody from trying to complain, it's a expansion. It's a Season of Chaos.
Yeah, Season of Chaos.
It's got a corgi on the front.
With grenades around his neck.
Yep. So, Little Cities Bigger is, I need to play the first one. I have it on Quest. I need to play it.
It looks good.
Definitely my kind of game. I just haven't sit down.
Yeah, SimCity in VR.
Yeah.
Similar to SimCity. All right. We already talked about Battlefront Classic Collection coming out. They undid a lot of the features, but that's a fun game. That I enjoyed both of them. I played both of them like pretty heavily. Battlefront 1 and 2. I know you're not a Star Wars guy, but...
Yeah, I don't have much love for them.
But those are fun games. Didn't know this, but PlayStation sign-in now supports passkey sign-ins. I don't know if you've ever tried to sign into PlayStation. You constantly have to put your username and password in.
Yeah.
Now you can go to your phone and just get it to where you can just do your fingerprint or PIN number, and it'll unlock and let you in the PlayStation app.
Yeah, it's like 5 years too late, but I appreciate them getting this worked out.
Yeah, because I'm tired of having to do that. when I do it. Apparently, Sony is working an official for their PlayStation VR PC support for it.
Yeah, it's the lifeline that thing needs is to get it over to some other console. Mm-hmm. And I think PC is the right home for it because they have seen what PC can do for their PS5 titles. They need to do something.
Yeah. Which I wouldn't be mad that at all. I like it. The more you can play. That's what that was cool because I like smart people. Google engineers modded a PlayStation Portal to emulate PSP games.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen wide scale.
Yeah. I mean, people are always do those, jailbreak them and emulate, get emulators on it. I know someone at my work who's still doing that Nintendo that came out that only had the 16 games or something on it.
Oh, yeah.
They're still modding that. Like, they just did one for somebody. Here we go. We talked about earlier where I'm playing Power Wash Simulator. Is getting a Space Marines because it says universe is good. So they're adding a new Warhammer 40K DLC on there.
I like that they're doing all the tie-ins. I like to think one day I'll go back and just mess around with that game, but I don't know if I will. The VR version is exciting to me. Mm. I'd like to try it out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Come on, go away. All right, this is something it's interesting. EA is offering players $600 and a free game to appear in their college football 25 game, which I don't think is something, but I mean, you're basically
a lot of players though you're talking about. Yeah,
$660 basically. It says it's a $60 game to show up in their game that they're going to make how much money on, because they get, you know, the newest, best.
But it's so many players you're talking about. It's the problem with college football, right? Is to, you know, with NIL now, people can be paid and should be paid, but it's kind of a mess. And when you look at how widespread this game needs to be, I mean, it is going to be a fortune to do it. I think it's going to sound shitty for most players. I think that's a fair deal.
It is, but it says here, players who agree to the deal remain in the game for their entire careers, but can opt out at later editions.
Yeah. So they'll always be in football 25.
Yeah.
But they don't have to be in whatever the agreement
26
says.
Or 27, 28.
Yeah. It's just so many players. I know $660 is not that much, but it's also cool to see yourself in a video game for your family to have that history forever.
Right.
That you could give 25 to somebody and they could play that and play you, your grandkids, kids. You know, it. I don't know. I don't know what to say here. They can't give everybody $10,000. They'll be out of business.
Right.
So.
It's a start.
It sounds shitty. Yeah, I know it does. But this is when everybody kept screaming year after year to bring college football back. This is the holdup right here. Mm-hmm. The licensing is a nightmare for college football and not worth it, in my opinion. But I'm glad it's back.
Yep.
I'm not going to play it, but I'm glad it's back.
Yep. And then this one I wanted to bring up real quick. Bethesda drops a new, says that they're releasing, because it's an anniversary time coming up. So they're releasing a little nuke with games and digital version of the games. I have the same exact one, but I have the physical version.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to only be, I think this one's going to be $70, I think it said. $60. It's $60, which I bought mine originally for $50.
It includes, scroll up just a little bit, Fallout, Fallout 2, Fallout Tactics, Fallout 3 Game of the Year Edition, Fallout New Vegas Ultimate Edition, Fallout 4 Game of the Year Edition, and Fallout 76.
So the one I got did not come with 76 because it wasn't out yet.
This does not feature 2004's Fallout Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah, I didn't get that one either. And the one I have. The nukes are very similar to the same one, the inside where the cases go. Very similar to that. I don't know if I'm going to get this one or not. I might just have another nuke just to display. I mean, especially if it only says $60. I'll probably have a gift card with that on there. And no Lego news because we already went over it.
You're welcome.
No, people love it.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Yeah, but that's all I have for today.
Same.
All right. As always, if you'd like to support us, head over to patreon.com/GameStitch. Follow us on our socials at @game_stitch. Not really follow us, you don't really post anything, but if you'd like to contact us, contact us on our socials at @game_stitch, at @hoeffandshow. That was episode 579. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.